IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Habib Zata, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about an interesting topic. Pets, is it ethical to keep them according to the religion of Islam? Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we talk about the pets, yes, there are some animals who are allowed, or, you know, Islam talks about them to keep them as a pet, for example. Cow, goat, you know, sometimes they have said in some of the narrations, obviously, when we look at the Islamic perspective, either we look at the Quran or the narrations, we see that there are certain pets which were, you know, animals which were at the home as a pet. And but the main thing is, you know, when you want to have an animal, you must look after the rights of the animals as well. For example, in the chapter An'am, and verse number 38, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يُطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. You know, we have the animals and the birds that fly, you know, with the wings. They are not except something like you. They are the communities like you.
Okay.
You know, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we have not neglected anything in the book. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. And after that, they all will be gathered towards their Lord. So this verse also tells us that there are the rights of the animals, as we need to look after the rights of the, you know, being a human being of each other. We need to look after their rights as well. And
Islam respects the rights of the animals, okay?
Islam respects the rights of every single, you know,
creature.
Thing that exists.
Okay, yes.
You know, plants, even, you know, it is said in some of the narrations that cutting off a tree is just like killing a person. So, you know, we have these kinds of narrations as well. So Islam pays attention to every single, you know, thing that exists, because these all are the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created all of them.
Yes.
And they all have, you know, their own status. And they are for each other. But on top of that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made human beings as ashraf al-makhluqat, the superior of all of the others, so these all are made for the mankind so that they can reach to perfection.
Okay. But not living with them, Habib, isn't it?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, just to add off, and then we'll come to your answer. We have, for example, prohibited animals to keep as pets. One of them is dogs.
Yes.
There's a saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi told Gabriel, the angel, why aren't you coming inside the house? He says, I think that there's a dog in the house. So he goes to the inside the room of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He sees that there's a puppy in the house. So he takes the puppy out. And
also pigs, for example.
Pigs, because they're dirty, and whatnot. But there's no prohibition, you know, keeping one. But you cannot own one.
Yes.
There's a difference between the two, right? And there are different narrations that state, for example, that the Imam alayhi salam had chicken. They had kinds of pigeons, al-rawa'ib. And they cursed the killers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And for example, that keep a hen in your house because it wakes you up for Fajr prayers, for example.
Yes.
Keep your chicken in the house because it keeps away devils and demons from your children, for example. And the Imam alayhi salam had pigeons. I'm 100% about that.
Okay.
There's a saying that Imam Baqir alayhi salam had them and he gifted them to some of his companions and whatnot.
Yes.
Cows and cattle and stuff like that, normal for Arabs at the time to have, you know, as pets and, you know, to use and take. We even have this saying that a man, a companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, had a lamb. He raised it until it became big. And then he sacrificed it and ate its meat. He went to the Imam. He said that before I sacrificed it, it looked me in the eyes and I looked it in the eyes.
Oh.
And I felt some kind of mercy, but yet I still continued to do my work. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him, I wish that you wouldn't have slaughtered it.
Oh.
And of course, horses, Donkeys yes. and stuff like that were also available.
The goats and the sheep.
Yeah. Yes. And of course, we see a lot of emphasis on how to act with horses mm-hmm. and camels. Because
yes.
mm-hmm. they usually, these were the mainstream yes, yes, yes. pets. They were usually used the most.
Yes.
And the Imam alayhi wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not hit your animal. Treat it well. Give it water. Yes. Do not put heavy things on
or
it.
Cutting out the tails. Yes.
Exactly.
They did not do that.
And for example, he saw a camel that had a lot of stuff on it
yes.
and its owner was not available and yes. it was tied.
Yes.
The Prophet said, where is this person? This mm-hmm. person is going to have problems with me on the Day of Judgment.
Wow.
So that's something to keep in mind how they used to deal with the animals. Now, something that I want to keep the dear listeners up about is that, for example, keeping pets like snakes and spiders. Because
oh.
I've seen some people, yes. I've seen python snakes, for example, okay. I've touched one, I've yes, seen yes. my friends had some, right? I even have some friends who had cobras as pets, okay. right? But at the end of the day, these are dangerous animals to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So the prohibition could be from the dangers that they might bring.
Okay.
So that's something to keep in mind.
So what about living with the animal? Does it have any effect on your lifestyle as a Muslim?
As a Muslim, there's this recommendation. There's this, you know, prohibition of praying in the marabat al-khayl or marabat al-ibil, praying where the camels drink water and where okay. the horses drink water, for example. Yes. There's also this, I've seen it before, I'm not sure where, this recommendation of sleeping where the sheep sleep, so sleeping next to the sheep, that's
okay.
something.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, it's a lifestyle at the end of the day. It doesn't affect you as a Muslim, you know, and as a religion, as your life. Because, okay. you know, because I've been to, you know, a slaughterhouse. I've been with sheep. I've touched yes. sheep. I have videos with sheep as well and pictures as well, if you want to okay. see them, brother, Atta,
okay.
after the show. But the thing is that,
you do not live with them, brother. Because nowadays, you know, when we're talking about the pets, it's a member of the family.
There's
nowadays,
this, you know, bond no relationship, separate, yeah, relationship no, that becomes with it.
Yeah.
I have this story about my grandfather with a dog that he brought. And he had this good connection with it and everything. He bought it from Beirut and he went to, you know, they live in the south, way in the south.
Okay.
My grandparents' village is considered as part of, you know, occupied Palestine right now.
Okay.
So it's like in Google Maps, at least.
Okay.
So my grandmother hit him with a rock. He ran away.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of months later, my grandfather goes down to the, you know, same street he buys the dog from, and then he sees the dog over there with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how close and how loyal he was to his first owner.
Okay.
So there's that loyalty, there's that love that happens between, you know, especially with dogs. Cats are, you know, no, I hate cats.
Okay. But I still believe that the modern lifestyle, Sayyid, considers pets as a member of the family. And this is the problem that I think the religion of Islam has with it, isn't it? Because of the influences of the behaviors of the dogs or cats or any animal on you. And unfortunately, replacing the pets with the child, you know, nowadays we could see so many families getting married, even getting married in the modern world, you know, do not have children, but consider the pet as a child.
So these are the realities, you know. Okay. We see these kind of discussions on the, you know, on the social
how
media.
How belittle is human being?
But the point is that, you know, okay. The main point is that, you know, when you give love to the animals,
oh.
they will also love you. Mm-hmm. Similarly, we need to love our kids. We need to love our family.
Okay.
So the main point is obviously when we do not know why we were, for example, you know, were created.
Yes.
We do not know about our existence, mm-hmm. the goal of existence,
yes.
then obviously whatever is in this material world will go after it. And the reason why the people are, you know, changing like or exchanging their children, like not having children but having pets, you know, in a time of their life, they do realize
mm-hmm.
that what a big mistake they have done. And the pets, obviously, they can have this love with any kind of pet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a pigeon, they have a dog, they have a cat, I don't know, ducks, you know, they can love them.
Usually the modern world, it's very much impossible to have, especially with the modern lifestyle and the systems, you know, the houses, the type of the houses, these apartments that the people have, you know, for example, to keep an animal in the yard or something like that. Unless you got a big house with a big yard or a garden
or
something.
These are our own issues, our problems, the human beings.
Yes.
You know, because we have moved to a lifestyle where we do not have enough room. Even, mm-hmm. you know, in Islam, when we look at the Islamic perspective about the house, it says you should have enough rooms.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a separate room for the kids. There should be a place in the house or a room in a house to for kids to play.
Mm-hmm.
A yard where you can, you know, go out and have, you know, the sun and the fresh air. So the Islamic lifestyle is different from the Western lifestyle, what we see. So if we have the true Islamic lifestyle, if we follow the Islamic lifestyle, then obviously we need to look after all these things, the issues that are being said in the Islam. And as regards to the pets, yes, it is unfortunately is happening. But obviously, the pets can never be your kids. You know, the pets, for example, a husband and wife who do not have a kid. Tomorrow when they die, who's going to inherit those pets? What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
with the land or the house, or they need another person to take care of them.
Okay.
They're not just like humans. So this is a wrong concept. This is a wrong concept which has been, you know, injected into the minds of the people. And that's why we see that, fortunately, the Hollywood or, you know, the Disneyland or the cartoons have criticized this thing.
The
animations like Boss Baby and all those, how the puppy is going to be. So fortunately, we see that even in this point, those who have the material thoughts, mm-hmm. who are non-Muslims and they do not pay any attention to Islam, they're also with us because they also realize this mass which is going to be, happen. So basically what is happening is it is against the fitrah, it is against the nature of the human beings to replace the kids or human being with something which is, you know, in your control, or you're just feeding it. On the other hand, Islam allows it. Why? Because there are many benefits.
I think, you know, respecting the rights of the animals in your idea is very much different from keeping them as the pets inside your house. These are two separate things, isn't it?
These are two separate things.
Separate things, that's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
respect the rights of the animals, but it's not necessarily.
You need to give them, as food pets. On time. Obviously, this is a kind of sadaqah for you.
If you have.
For example, in the narrations, brother has also mentioned, in the narrations we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever has a cock which is white color and with the big, you know, wings.
Feathers,
It is beneficial for your, you know, seven neighbors as well.
Mm-hmm.
It, wipes away the bala. So these are in the narrations. As far as it is concerned to the dogs, it is said if it is something like if you have the dog for guarding your house.
Security.
For security. That is fine. Okay. But do not bring it inside the house.
Yes.
So Islam gives importance to the animals, to their rights. But on top of that, being a Muslim, we should know the rulings about the keeping the animals first.
Mm-hmm. Also paying for them, for them, and the, you know,
and
you have to pay for
after
the food,
that, have a pet in your house.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important because, you know, we just bring a pet in the house. For example, a puppy or a cat. I don't know,
a bird
or anything. Yes. But we never have, you know, learned about the rights of that animal.
Okay.
So this is important that even if you want to have a puppy in your house, know about the rulings. There is a najasa, there is a purification.
Usually the pets are kept as a hobby, isn't it? And is this hobby making with the animals allowed in Islam? I mean, you being busy with an animal inside the house, normally you have to manage.
Hobby. I know. Me personally, if I had a bigger house, inshallah ta'ala, Allah yirzuqna. May Allah bless us,
all of us.
All of us, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. You know, not an apartment house, at
no,
least,
no.
right?
With a big yard.
A big yard.
Yes.
I would personally bring in pigeons and chicken. And the reason
this
why...
This is good.
Not because of the hobby, because of the recommendation available that keeps away the devils.
Okay.
Right? That's one thing.
Okay.
Another thing that some people bring it, not for their own sake, for their kids' sake.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen.
Welcome.
Brother Habib, for your presence in the program. Viewpoints, that's all we have time for today's discussion. Okay. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Call of Islam page. Also, YouTube, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt? without you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong and left. Well, that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.